All right, everybody. And do we have recording started? Did I
Yes,
hear
we
that
do.
right? Well,
Yes.
happy Tuesday, everybody, and welcome to our first pre-convention event for our 2021 virtual convention. We have Deborah Armstrong here, who is going to get us Zoom ready. Tonight is our beginners class, and I'm going to go ahead and hand it off to her. Our moderator tonight is Andrea DeClos. And we also have Rob Turner here as host as well. So welcome everybody. And Debbie, the floor is yours.
Hello, everyone. My name is Debbie Armstrong. I work over in Cupertino at De Anza Community College. And what I do is I help college students with the wonderful world of online learning. I am the computer tech for Disabled Student Services. So I'm on Zoom all day long in my job, and I feel that that's why I should be helping you all with Zoom. Tonight is just the beginner session. We're going to go until 8. I will try to take a few questions, but I have my experience is that when people ask questions, they're typically asking the advanced questions. So Thursday night is my advanced session, and then I will be taking any question you want. I have a whole outline for beginner and advanced, and I'm not going to cover anything you don't need to know tonight. So if I'm covering it tonight, it's something that would really be helpful to you as a beginner using Zoom. And so you needn't worry if you have a question about how do I do this or that. It probably is going to be something we can handle on Thursday, but I will leave some time for questions. And Thursday session is going to run all the way till 8:30 or longer if people need it. So tonight we're going to try to end at 8, but you know, the world doesn't end if we don't end at 8. We just wanted to try to keep it short just so beginners won't be overwhelmed more than anything else. Okay, so my note here says you don't need Thursday, and I want to repeat that if you're the sort of person who finds technology overwhelming, don't bother with Thursday. You don't need Thursday. You only need Thursday if you are going to use Zoom in a regular capacity and you want to really be on top of it. Okay, we're going to start out with what is Zoom? It's spelled Zoom, and it is the name of a very popular conferencing platform. And what that just means is it's software that lets you hold meetings, conferences, same thing, they're synonymous terms, with other people that are remote. So in Zoom meetings, and Zoom always uses the term meeting, whereas you'll find some of its competitors like WebEx and stuff will use the word conference. But in Zoom, it's always a meeting, whether it's just you by yourself making a recording or it's 800 people, it is still a meeting. And in a Zoom meeting, you may or may not have video. But you always have control. So you never have to worry if you don't turn your video on, it is not on. I was gardening all day. I'm kind of covered with dirt. I look actually pretty ratty. And it's very nice to not have my video on because I kind of look like a homeless person. Anyway, video. I'm looking at my notes. There are two types of meetings, and the reason I bring this up right in the beginner session is so you won't be confused if you're dropped into one of the meetings that is a webinar. Now, webinars typically are when someone is teaching a concept, and they can turn the webinar mode on when they are in using Zoom. You can't do it, but if someone is running a Zoom meeting and they have this privilege on their account, like ACB does, ACB National does, they can choose to be in the webinar mode. And what that means is if you are in a webinar, you have less control. You cannot see who else is participating. Most of the time, your video is off, but you can't turn it on anyway. And the other thing to know is that you don't have control about muting and unmuting until the person who is the presenter decides that you can unmute. So if you get stuck in a meeting that doesn't look like a meeting you were in before, and you're trying to find the raise hand button or trying to find the mute button, and it doesn't seem to be right, it means that someone has decided to turn on webinar. Okay, now I mentioned muting, And I want to talk about muting a little bit before I talk about anything else. And I will repeat it again and again. But you will often be in meetings, and actually, I find this happens more often with sighted people than it does with blind people, especially if they're not used to using Zoom. What they will do is they'll join a meeting as if they were in a real room. Well, in a real room, you've got space. You know, you've got people who are on the sides of the room, people who are in the front of the room, people who are in the back of the room, and conversations can ebb and flow, and people can walk around the room, and they can hear each other. Well, that doesn't happen in a Zoom meeting. So I'm going to demonstrate to you now what happens in a Zoom meeting when a whole bunch of people are unmuted and people are breathing into the phone and TVs are going. And so I'm going to have Andrea just babble some nonsense for a while. It's going to be very important information, but guess what? You're not going to be able to hear it very well because I'm going to deliberately be obnoxious just so that on the recording you can hear what it's like when people are not polite. So let me get my phone going and I'll get my obnoxious mode on. So the first thing that happens is you start hearing a whole lot of feedback. Let me unmute.
Okay. Now we should be hearing a whole lot of really obnoxious feedback. Okay, now, Andrea, I think you have to say some really important things while we're hearing all this really obnoxious feedback. Because I'm talking both on my phone and on my computer, and it's really annoying. Now, let's go ahead and turn my loud TV on.
Okay, so it's important to remember that muting is a toggle. And you can use the same command to unmute from your PC. It's Alt-A. From the Mac, Command-Shift-A. From the app, the button in the lower left-hand
corner. Hey, everybody, I'm here. Am I late? I think I'm late.
Oh, my gosh. Also includes some upsetting video.
Virgil, mind you.
Oh man, am I late? I thought I was going to be here on time, and I'm sorry, everybody, that I'm late.
Okay, end of obnoxiousness. I think we should only be hearing me now. All right, so that's what it sounds like when people leave their TVs on, join with two different devices, forget to mute. Whenever you hear that, you know exactly that someone hasn't been paying attention to a Zoom training. Okay, I'm going to move on to talk about Zoom accounts. As a beginner, I want to tell you again and again, you do not need a Zoom account. However, they exist, and anybody who is going to be holding a meeting has to have an account. There are free accounts and there are paid accounts, and I'll go over those differences more in the advanced settings. I just wanted to touch on the fact that even if someone says, oh my gosh, you need an account, you don't. You don't need an account to join a meeting. I forgot to breathe in my phone. That's another one that's really obnoxious when people have their mouthpiece up to their face and they go, and you really hear that loud, or if their dishes are clattering. I have a note here about how people sometimes are in their kitchens and their dishes are clattering. ACB has a convention, at least nationally, and I'm assuming we're going to be doing this with the California convention too, and that is that you need to raise your hand so that the moderator can call on you to speak. And I'll be giving you those keystrokes in a minute. But there's only really two things you need to know how to do in a meeting, and that is mute and unmute, which is a toggle, same keystroke, and raise your hand, which is also a toggle. And so typically, if you're in a meeting that is well-run, and ACB's community calls are very well-run, you will be asked to raise your hand, and then you will be called on, and you'll be able to ask your question or make your comment. Meanwhile, the presenters, if there's a panel, there might be more than one, they're unmuted throughout the entire presentation. One last term I want to define here is the term host. The host, this is a different than in real life. The host is usually the person who scheduled the meeting, the person who has control over the account. Remember, I said you don't need to have an account, and that is certainly true. But if you are in charge of a meeting, you're running it, you need to have an account, and that account holder is called the host. Now, sometimes host privileges can be given to more than one person, and like an ACB, several people may have access to the account. So once they schedule a meeting or log in with their host key, they may be the host. But you, as a person just listening to the meeting or maybe asking a few questions, don't have to worry about hosting. And in ACB terminology, the host is not the same person as the facilitator. So you may hear this term, you won't hear it outside of ACB, but ACB is pretty strict about this. The facilitator is usually not the host. And the reason for that is that the host is typically the person who takes care of raising hands, muting people who are being obnoxious, kicking out riffraff. If we have Zoom bombing, you know, we have someone who's being obnoxious. So that's what the host does, whereas the facilitator presents. So tonight, Andrea is our host, and I am our facilitator, and Rob is recording, so we don't know what he is, but he's Rob. Okay. I'm going to just stop again to check with Andrea and make sure I'm coming in okay. Am I sounding good?
You are fine. You are just fine. And Rob and I are actually both Rob is the host, I'm the co-host.
Oh, okay, great.
So we're both, yeah.
And all of my obnoxiousness and feedback is history, right?
You're perfect.
Okay, great. Yep.
Thank you.
I wanted to make sure I turned...
Nope. You're beautiful. No problem.
Okay. All right. There are actually five ways you can join a Zoom meeting. And in my handout that we're going to be distributing, I actually said I think there's three, but that's some of them are very similar. So for reference purposes, I tried to make it simple. But I want, as a beginner, I want you to understand that there really are five different ways. The first way is you can join on your computer, and I will talk a great deal about that. The second way is you can join on your browser, which many people don't realize you can do that, and I'll explain when and why you would want to do that. The third way is you can use an app to join, and you can have apps on your smartphone or on your Kindle or your iPad, so that can be very useful. The fourth way is something called OneTap Mobile, and that's very popular with ACB. I'll be talking about that a little bit. And the fifth way is to join on your telephone. And I will be talking about that first. And when you join a Zoom meeting, there are two pieces of information you're going to need. You may not need to remember them, but you need to have them handy. Those pieces of information are a meeting ID and a passcode. And sometimes it's referred to as a passcode, sometimes a password. It's the same thing. A meeting ID can be 9, 10, or 11 digits. So you sometimes will have to type in that ID and sometimes not. A password can be pretty much anything the host decides it can be. With CCB, we always have 222638. That seems to be a common passcode, but don't hold your breath. It could change. Let's see. Now, when you get a meeting invite, and a meeting invite may be someone calling you up and giving you the information, but more likely it's an email. Your meeting invite is going to have three pieces of information. It's going to have that meeting ID. It's going to have the link. And it's going to have the passcode. Now, the link is a web browser link. And the link contains both the meeting ID and the passcode. And most of the time, we for some reason in our SVCB meetings, our link does not contain the passcode. But when a person schedules a meeting, they can have it include the passcode, and the passcode is encrypted in that link. What happens is when you press enter or click on that link, your browser loads, and your browser is smart enough to also call up Zoom, but there may be a button that says open in Zoom. That happens both on my computer and on my iPhone, and then I have to choose open in Zoom, and then it opens. Your invite may also have a link that says add to calendar. And you can ignore it, or you can add it to your calendar. If you have a calendar you like to use, like Google Calendar or Outlook, you can follow that. That is an advanced topic. I just want you to know it exists, and it's something you can ignore. You don't have to add things to your calendar. You can add things to your calendar manually. Let's see. User ID, passcode, link. Now, let's talk about the last way to join, which I told you was the simplest for most people, and that's joining with an ordinary telephone. And I actually find joining with a telephone to be complicated, but most people that I've been in Zoom meetings with prefer it. I'm not sure why, but because you have to key in both pieces of information. You dial in the phone number, and then you're prompted to type in the ID, and you've got to type in this long ID and press the pound. And then you're prompted to type in the passcode, and you have to type in this long passcode and press pound. And I just find that majorly annoying. But it's very simple because you don't need a computer and you're in the call. And in fact, that's how I was doing my obnoxious demonstration. I joined on my telephone, and then I sort of breathed in my mouthpiece and talked into it and turn my TV up. So yeah, but as long as you mute before you do that, you will not be obnoxious on your telephone. Now, the reason ACB started using something called OneTap Mobile is because it lets you join on your smartphone as a regular telephone call, just as if you joined on a regular telephone, except that includes all the numbers, because there's a little trick with smartphones, and that is if you do touch tones and then you put commas in, the commas create 1 second pauses. So a OneTap Mobile number that you'll see in your email invite is nothing more than the telephone number to dial in a Zoom, a couple commas to add a pause, the ID, and a couple more commas to add more pauses, and then the password. Oh, and there's pound signs in there too, because you have to type the meeting ID with a pound and the password with a pound. There's also asterisk in there, and I can't remember what it's good for, but it's there and it's important. So when you put that OneTap Mobile number on your iPhone or your Android phone, it just automatically dials everything for you as if you had manually dialed it in. So that's what a OneTap Mobile is all about. It doesn't give you access to it via any way that's different than dialing in on your phone. It just saves you from typing all of that in. And of course, you can't use a OneTap Mobile on your iPad. You can't use OneTap Mobile on your regular wall phone. You know, it only works on your smartphone, because the smartphone operating system, Android or iOS, is smart enough to know that when you tap on something, it should dial it. Okay, I have a note here that doesn't make any sense. All right, we have covered the two ways you dial in to Zoom without a computer or an app. And I would like, before I move on to talking about using a computer, to again talk to you a little bit about muting. The toggle for muting on your phone is *6. So you press the asterisk, which is in the lower left-hand corner of your touchtone keypad, and then you hit the 6. And you can think of 6 as the letter M, because, of course, 6 is M-N-O on your touchtone keypad. So *6 or *M for mute. It is a toggle. It will mute and unmute you back and forth as you press it. And you are not automatically muted when you join most calls, unless the host has set it up so that all participants are muted when they join the call. And most of the time that doesn't happen. I know if you join the Freedom Scientific webinars, typically you are muted. If you join a few ACB webinars, you are typically automatically muted. But unless the host has deliberately set that up for you, you will be unmuted and you will need to mute. Okay, now to raise your hand when you dial in on the telephone, that is *9. So again, you're going to hit the asterisk, which is on the lower left hand of your keypad, and you're going to hit the 9. And that is for raising your hand. And I don't know, 9, WXYZ. I don't know if any of that has anything to do with hands, but star 9 is for raising your hand. It is, again, a toggle. So if you don't want to raise your hand, you can do that again, and it will it'll lower your hand. Usually a good host, an experienced ACB host for sure, will lower your hand automatically after you've spoken. So you raise your hand, you wait your turn. They say, okay, Jane Doe, you can talk. Jane does her little thing. And then the host will automatically lower Jane's hand. Jane will probably have to mute herself, but her hand will get automatically lowered by most good hosts. Okay, that covers joining on the telephone. And I'm going to take a little slurp of water here, and then I'll talk about joining with an app or with your computer. Sorry about the noisy slurp here. Okay. See, I should have muted when I was slurping water, but heck, I'm the presenter. I can do whatever I want. Okay, joining with an app. There are Zoom apps for your smartphone. There are Zoom apps for your Kindle. There's Zoom apps for your iPad, Android, and iOS, both. So if you have one of those Galaxy tablets, you can join on that too. You really should install the app before you try joining a call. Now, if you join a call, I mean, if you have a link and you tap on a link to a Zoom meeting and you got an invite, and this happened to my mom. So she got a meeting invite, she tapped on the link, and she didn't have Zoom on her iPad, so it wanted to take her to the app store where she could download Zoom, and she was totally confused. So don't get totally confused. If you want to join with an app, get that, go to your app store, Google Play Store, or Kindle Store, or, you know, obviously your Apple Store, and go ahead and get the Zoom app. It's free, and have it on your phone. Because otherwise what's going to happen is you're going to be taken to the app store, and that may be very confusing for you. You can also join on your computer. And what happens when you join on your computer, if you do not have the Zoom app installed, you will click on that link that you got in your invite, and you will get a web page that tells you to click to install the Zoom app or click to join in your browser. And I'm going to talk about joining in your browser separately in a minute. But you can actually just click and the app will install, and after that you'll have Zoom on your computer. So you don't actually have to install Zoom ahead of time. But again, if you are a little bit technophobic, that can be kind of confusing because you think you're joining a meeting and all of a sudden you're installing software. So if you don't like stuff like that, go ahead and install the Zoom app ahead of time. You can go to zoom.us and go to download and find it and get it installed. If you find this is not confusing, you can just wait till you get a meeting invite, click on the link, and it will automatically download Zoom, and you'll get a few prompts to install it. Older versions of Zoom have fewer prompts, but the newer versions, when they go to install, they ask you a few things before you get it all the way installed. Now, why would you want to join with an app and or on your computer instead of just dialing the phone number and calling in like you did with free conference call and with other telephone conferencing things? For one thing, you have video. And if you're low vision, you might want to see the speaker if the speaker has a video on. For another thing, if you have low vision, you might want to see the shared screen because in many Zoom calls, people do share a screen. But for blind people, the most important thing about joining on the computer is that you have much better voice quality. The audio quality on the computer is superior to the audio quality on the phone. And if we want to get technical, on the telephone, it's only 8K samples. And on the computer, it's 16K samples. So it's like twice the audio quality. If you're hearing impaired, it'll be much easier to hear it on the computer. The other reason to join with an app or on the computer is that Zoom has a feature called chat. And so the chat is accessible, though it can be a little complicated to learn how to use, but it means that you can text each other back and forth on the computer. Now, that's discouraged in ACB calls because you have to listen to speech, and that's hard to listen to speech in chat and also listen to everybody else on the call. But I work with students with lots of different disabilities, and they use the chat all the time. And so I have a Braille display, so I'm set up so that I read the chat with Braille, and I listen to the speaker with, you know, with my ears. So that works out for me, but it can be very confusing to use the chat if you're new to Zoom. So I just want you to know it's there. Okay. Just a little bit more about using the link. When you get a meeting link, if it's on your device, it'll load in your browser, but then you'll get something that says open in Zoom, and then below it, it says open. And I hadn't really thought about this, but I was helping my mom who has macular degeneration, and she kept tapping on the open in Zoom and nothing happened. And then I realized, oh no, she has to tap on the below that it says open. So don't let that throw you, because you really do need to tap on the right button. So otherwise nothing happens. On your PC, usually it's pretty clear, open in Zoom, and you press enter on that and it opens. On your iPhone, Muting on your iPhone has been moving around, and the older versions of the app, it was in the lower right-hand corner. I was looking yesterday. It is in the lower left-hand corner. On people's iPads, it's in the middle of this, of the bottom, near the bottom of the screen, but it's in the middle. And it is a toggle, but you can't activate it with a keystroke. You have to tap that button, mute, unmute, and it will tell you its status. If you want to raise your hand, you have to tap on more, you know, and double tap on it if you're using VoiceOver. And then raise hand is now the first item on the list under more. It used to be way down at the bottom of the list. So, but the newest update seems to have moved it, so it's a little easier to find. On your computer, the default keystroke for mute is Alt-A. Think of A for audio. It is a toggle. Alt-A will toggle you on and off, mute and unmute. If you have JAWS scripts, you will have JAWS scripts. If you have any version of JAWS that's pretty recent, they will tell you if you're muted or unmuted. NVDA will pretty much do the same, but there are some more advanced feature scripts for JAWS, which are kind of built in and kind of not. And I'll be talking about all of that when I get into advanced. The one thing I do want to give you right now is how to shush everything. Because what's going to happen if you join on your computer or you join using your smartphone app is that your screen reader is going to read everything to you. It's going to read who's raising their hand. It's going to read participants. It's going to read the chat. And it's going to get really yakety. And that can make it very frustrating to listen to the person who's speaking. So with JAWS, you do the layered keystroke, insert space, followed by S. And what that does is that turns on full speech or speech on demand. And speech on demand just means that JAWS is only going to speak if you ask it to. It's not going to volunteer information. And remember, that is one of those layered keystrokes. You hold down insert or the caps lock and you hit space. You release both of those and you hit S. So insert space toggles on the JAWS layer or caps lock space. And then S says, I want speech either to be on demand or full speech. Now to shush up VoiceOver, you don't have that flexibility. VoiceOver is either talking or not talking. So you have to do a three-finger double tap. My hand knows what to do. My speech, my voice doesn't know what to do. Three-finger double tap. And I can't remember how to shush TalkBack, which I should know how, but I can't remember. I have a note here about feedback and echo cancellation. I already handled that. My notes are out of order. Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to mention that one thing a lot of beginners do, and once again, my poor mom, I'm beating her up in this call, aren't I? My mom, she was all worried about, was she going to be able to do this? So she joined on her iPad, and then she wasn't sure she'd done it right, so she joined on her iPhone. And what we ended up hearing was my mom twice, because we got feedback because she was talking on her iPad and her phone was picking up her voice. And you heard that sample before. She got the message about muting and she was all good and muted herself. But what happened is people's voices coming through one speaker where it's being picked up by the microphone, the other device. So even though it's very tempting to join on two devices, there is an advanced way to do it. I will cover it in the Thursday meeting if you really must join on two devices. But if you, really, please don't do it. It's so obnoxious. And it's much better if you're not sure if you did it right to just hang up and try again on the one device. I promised I would get to the fifth way to join a Zoom meeting, and that is join on your browser. And the reason you might want to do this is if you are on a school computer or a friend's computer or in some situation where you are not allowed to install an app. For example, you may not have administrator rights. I used to have a computer at work that I did not have administrator rights to when I was new and I was not a tech. And so if I had Zoom, I would have had to join on my browser. Another reason to join on your browser is if you are really worried about security and just don't want to put any apps on your computer. And so joining from your browser, what happens is when you get the link in your invite, your browser pops up and below the open in Zoom is a button that says join with browser. And if you choose that button, you will get into a browser window. This works with Firefox. It works with Google Chrome. It works with the new Edge. Does not work with Internet Explorer, but it's very accessible. You can tab around and you can use it just like you can use the real Zoom app. And I had to join with browser one day when I was using somebody else's computer. And so I know for sure that that does work with NVDA. And with JAWS. Let's see. Hang on. Going through my notes, making sure I didn't miss anything important to tell you. All right. I'm going to talk again a little bit about Zoom on your computer. The Zoom app on your computer always has two windows. This is not true on your smartphone, but on your computer, it has two windows. One of them is the Zoom main window, and the other one is the window with your current meeting. And once your meeting, you've joined your meeting, it'll either say waiting for host, like it did tonight for me, because Andrea had not joined yet, or it will be the meeting in progress. And the first thing you want to do when that window pops up is your Alt-A to mute yourself if you are unmuted. Sometimes people were muted, and then, but usually if you were muted by the host, they keep you muted. So you don't have to worry about it too much, but get yourself muted. Unless it's an informal meeting, it's just a few people chit-chatting, then it's fine to be unmuted. The regular Zoom window has all kinds of advanced features in it. I'm not going to go into. You can adjust your settings. You can schedule meetings. As a beginner, you can pretty much ignore that window unless you do not have a link. If you do not have a link and you only have a meeting ID and a passcode, then you're going to have to find the join button in that main window. And then you're going to have to type in your ID. You actually have to type in your name and your ID and your password. You will be prompted. But the important thing here is that there was a bug in earlier versions of JAWS that did not read what you were typing and showed you like a blank field. So like if your name was Lisa, you would type Lisa and you wouldn't see Lisa. So you type Lisa again and then you type Lisa again. And pretty soon your name would be Lisa, 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 Lisa. Well, they've gone and fixed that bug in JAWS. But basically, type in your name when you're prompted, press tab, and then tab back, and you'll be able to read your name in that field. So if you run into that problem, don't worry, just tab out of it and tab back to it, and you'll be able to read your name in that field. There's a join button after you've typed in that information, but in most places in the Zoom main window, there are no okay buttons. So that's something also that throws people if they go and they're fooling around with settings or they're exploring and they're filling in information or changing information. Like, where's the okay button? Well, there is no okay button. When you are doing things in the Zoom main window, your settings are already automatically saved. Okay, let me talk a little bit about the Zoom meeting window. I was telling you about the main window, just so you didn't have to worry about it too much, or if you got in there and got confused. The only reason you need to be in the main window is if you need to join a meeting manually by typing in the meeting ID and passcode, or if you're goofing around with settings, just to make sure you know there is no OK button. Don't worry, it's not there. But the window you will be in most often on the computer is the window you are now in, if you're on the computer, the window for your active Zoom meeting. And that window can be in full screen mode or not. And let me describe to you the layout. And you may say, well, I'm blind, I don't care. But if you're low vision, you care. If you are working with a sighted person who is new to Zoom, you care. Like my poor mom with macular degeneration, who was really struggling to see what she was doing. So you may be happy to know something about the layout of this window. All of the controls that you typically use, for example, share screen, mute, all that stuff are at the bottom of the screen. If you navigate with JAWS or NVDA, you can just tab from one to another. And I'm going to go ahead and do that a little bit. I don't need to share my screen. I'm just going to talk about it. There's mute, audio settings, start my video, video settings, participants panel, and that's going to, if I open that, it would show me who was in this meeting. More options, share screen, record, leave, let's not press that. And so there's all these buttons, okay? And those are called controls. And I can navigate them with JAWS or NVDA with tab. If I was sighted, though, I would need to find them at the bottom of my screen. And you would not believe how many fully sighted people look at the screen and cannot locate them. And it's even more stressful for low vision people who may be magnifying someone's face or someone's shared screen and not see these guys at all because they're way at the bottom. This is when Zoom is in full screen mode. If Zoom is not in full screen mode, the buttons are staying at the bottom of the screen, but whatever else you're doing is on screen now and not Zoom. There is one control that is not at the bottom of the screen. It is irrelevant for blind people. It is very relevant for low vision people. It is called the view button. And the view button, you can tab to it with JAWS and not realize, but it's usually on the upper right. In some versions of Zoom, it is on the upper left. I just asked a sighted person yesterday and he told me it was on the upper right. So I've gotten different information about where it is. But what the view button does is it changes from gallery view to speaker view. Now, gallery view puts little squares on the screen with each person's video. I think you may remember I told you your video doesn't have to be on unless you want it on. If your video is not on, then there is just a default picture. Or if you have an account and you set up a profile, your profile picture would be there. For me, there's a picture of me with my golden retriever guide dog. That's what's showing in gallery view for me. If I switch to speaker view, you would see a full screen view of that picture. If I had turned my video on, you'd see a little square of me in my dirty gardening outfit here, or you'd see a big square of me in my dirty gardening outfit if I was switched over to speaker view. If you are low vision and you typically use reverse video, you should turn it off because it's very difficult to see people's faces with reverse video on. So that's something to think about before you join a meeting. If you're going to want to actually be looking at people in that meeting and you've got your reverse video enabled. Okay, let's see. So I've talked about the layout of the window. Again, this layout is irrelevant to you if you are just tabbing around. And you know what? I forgot to mention the Mac keystrokes. But if you are on a Mac, you're going to mute with Command-Shift-A. And you're going to use Option-Y if you want to raise your hand. And you know, that recently changed too, because on older versions of Zoom, I think it was a little bit different. I also wanted to mention another JAWS keystroke, and I had it kind of listed last, and I'm not sure why, but most new versions of JAWS are running a script that lets you do Alt Windows S to silence alerts. And that will tell JAWS not to read things like what's in the chat and who's joined the meeting. I have a handout that does have all this stuff in it. So you don't have to memorize all this. You're going to be able to get access to that handout. Let's see. I talked about shushing. Oh, and shushing NVDA. That's insert space. And with NVDA, you don't have the choice of speech on demand. So you hold the insert or the caps lock and you hit S, and you can toggle between no speech, beeps, which means that if it was going to say something, it would beep instead, or full speech. Let's see. Might have that note out of order. The other thing you can do is you can always use headphones when you join a meeting. I deliberately did not use headphones because I wanted to occasionally let you hear my speech while I was explaining something. Other keystrokes you might find useful: if you are in a meeting with a chat, you would do Alt-H to call up the chat and tab over to enter your chat text. Freedom Scientific uses that quite a bit. Another keystroke that is useful is Alt-U for looking at the participants panel. If you're joined on your computer, you can see who is in the meeting. If you find, once again, that you don't have a mute button, you don't have a chat button, you don't have a participants panel, what's happened is you've joined a webinar. And ACB does this pretty frequently, so does Freedom Scientific. And when you are in a webinar, they may have chosen to turn those features off. Now, what happens in the webinar mode is you will be able to mute and unmute, but the button will not be there until the host decides you can unmute. And at that point, a little box will pop up and ask you to unmute. And it can be a bit tricky to find with a screen reader. You just have to tab to the unmute button and press space on it. Or at that point, you don't even have to find the box. You can just use your unmute key, Alt-A. The last thing I want to say, and this is really more advanced, but I just wanted you to know it exists. You can actually change any of these hotkeys. I had hand surgery in August, and I was doing this volunteer job that involved using Zoom a lot. And so I couldn't use my right hand for about 4 weeks. And so what I did is I changed my mute key to F1. And in fact, I like it so much, I kept my mute key on F1 because I don't, you know, I can press it with one hand. I've also made it a global hotkey. So if I'm in another app and I need to unmute, I can just hit F1. I also want to remind you that these keystrokes, Alt-A or Alt-Y or Alt-U or Alt-H, none of them will work if you've joined on an app on your smartphone. You actually just have to go tap on the buttons for participants or mute or raise hand. Let's see. All the rest of this stuff is advanced. So I think I'm actually ready for questions now. I'm going to mute and drink some water, and Andrea will remind you how to ask questions, and you can go for it.
Okay. Debbie, this is Andrea, and I have a question, and we do have a couple of hands, but since I'm the co-host, I'm going to take advantage of that position and ask my question first. I was a little confused. When would you, because usually I join on my phone a lot. If I'm hosting, I use my computer, but I use my iPhone quite a bit. When would you want to hit open as opposed to open in Zoom? I was a little bit confused about that.
On the computer, usually you don't have to find another open button. On the iPhone, you know that it says open in Zoom, and then below it, it says open.
Right.
And message, there's a little caption that says open in Zoom, and then below it, it says open.
Right. And you were saying that your mom, you had your mom use open, and I was confused as to why.
Well, my mom kept tapping on the open in Zoom because she thought it was a button. She doesn't see very well, but she was using her vision. And so she kept tapping on open in Zoom and nothing happened. But you have to actually tap on the word
open. Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Which is below open in Zoom.
Okay. I do it so automatically, I don't even think about it, I guess.
If you think about it, it's very confusing. It's like, well, it says open in Zoom. Why is it not opening when I
Yeah, talk? Okay. Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. The first
open in Zoom is just a caption.
Okay, gotcha. The first hand we have, I know the phone number, it is Nancy Unger. So Nancy, would you please unmute?
Hi. Hi there. I'm on my Smart Vision 2 with a phone with a keypad and has a keypad and a touch screen. But anyway, I've used the Braille Touch Plus on occasion, and I use the headphones. And I have a suggestion too. Sometimes I've used the phone, put both numbers in, but what I've done is put like Zoom San Jose or Zoom Chicago. I put Zoom phone numbers in my contact, and then all I have to do is put the ID and the passcode. So that's a suggestion for those who use the phone. You don't have to, if you could put, even on a flip phone, I guess, if you put Zoom information in your, on your phone and in your contacts, that helps that you know, you don't have as many things to put many options to put into your phone.
With all the right commas, right, for pauses?
Yes. Well, I just say call Zoom San Jose or call Zoom Chicago. I use a few numbers and I have them in my phone calls, the Zoom information, which I already have in my contacts. And so, and then all I have to do is when I use the phone, I think I have an app on my phone. I haven't used it on my phone, only on the Braille Touch Plus. That's a suggestion for phone users. Put the
That is a really good idea.
Yeah, and I also want to know if I use my headphones on with the Braille. I don't know what Braille display you have, Deborah, but I have the Braille Touch Plus. Is that a pretty good? Does that give you pretty good audio if you use the headphones with the Braille display? Thank you.
I don't know anything about the Braille Note Touch. My Braille display is a Variole Ultra, and I have a Focus, so I don't have any Braille displays that actually do anything but Braille, right?
Nancy, you might want to contact HumanWare. They would be better able to help you with that specifically.
Okay. Thanks, Andrea.
Okay,
Andrew, this is Gabe. If I may speak for a second on that.
Go ahead.
He is HumanWare.
And Andrea, the one thing I would say about the Zoom on the Braille Note is, yes, the headphones will work well, but calling HumanWare, you're probably going to be told that's a third-party app and we don't support it.
Okay.
So you're not going to get a lot of information there. But the Braille Note Touch, you are going to be using the Android version of the app. And this is me speaking personally, just sharing that that's going to be the Android version of the app. So it's going to have those buttons that Deborah was talking about a little while ago.
Okay, we have a hand up, but I'm not sure how. Is it James? I can't quite read the name, but you raised your hand earlier, I know, and you have your hand up now. So if your name starts with J, could you unmute, please? I'm not sure. There we go.
Andrea, this is Judy.
Oh, Judy, it's just, okay, my Jaws is reading, is spelling it out.
Well, and this is this is where my question comes in. I accidentally, yes, I've gotten told that it's Andrea the crazy cat lady, so I can see why you want to turn speech off. Anyway, I have two questions. The first one is I get teased mercilessly because somehow originally when I first did my settings, I typed my name in incorrectly. I now do not know where to go to see settings. I generally use the app on my iPhone. So where are settings to change my name?
I want to double check in the latest version before I give you the answer. Can I give it to you on Thursday?
Yes.
Because I knew how to do it a long time ago, but the app has been updated, and I would like to try changing it on my phone with the current version of the app to make sure
that'd
I'm getting
great.
The correct information.
And Judy, yeah, I apologize. I have headphones on, and I couldn't hear.
This is sort of a two-parter. In your handout, Debbie, I'm here to tell you that there's a couple of errors about raising hands and muting on the Mac. You have the same command twice, Command Shift Y, for both muting and for raising hand. You have nowhere does it say that I read, and I read it fairly quickly, does it say Option Y on a Mac?
You're correct. I did make a mistake. I did make that mistake. I think I'm correct tonight when I was talking.
Okay, about so it's Option. So mute is Command Shift A. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And raise hand is Option
Y. Yes. Okay. And I believe the way I had it in my handout was really an old version of the Mac.
Okay. Okay. Just so you know when you update the handout. You know,
yeah, I know. Neat. I know. Yeah. I did.
But I want to say I'm it's great to have a handout. I think it for the most part, I think it's a terrific handout. I really appreciate it.
I'm an out of control writer. I always do handouts. Yeah. Every presentation I've done.
Well, it's great. The other question I have is something you said earlier this evening, and I never use chat, but my ears perked up when you said I could listen and chat in Braille. How do you do that so that you've turned off speech for your chat, but left it on for, you know, listening to everybody?
Well, you need to spend $40. You need to use Brian Hartchen's scripts.
I use a Mac and an iPhone.
Ah, okay. I don't know how to do it on the Mac. We can ask Chris Grabowski and see if we can get you an answer, but I don't know how to do that on the Mac.
I see. So when you were talking about being able to chat using Braille and listen, you were talking about only JAWS users.
JAWS or NVDA. There's a way to do it with NVDA. I'm sorry, I don't know how to do it with the Mac. I will go ahead and email Chris and see if he knows if there's a way to do it, though.
Thank you.
Judy, yeah. It's Andrea. I wonder if you connected a Braille display that didn't have speech.
Wait a minute, Andrea. I just turned my speech off. I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said.
I just wonder, and maybe, Debbie, this is just something that comes to my mind. If you had a Braille display connected that did not have onboard speech, couldn't you read the chats and still use, if it was connected through VoiceOver, couldn't you read the? I don't know. Maybe that would work.
Well, you're absolutely right. My new Braille device, my BI20, does not have speech, so it only has Braille.
Yeah. So I wonder if that would work.
Oh, okay. So in other words, if I went into the chat, then I should be able to use the Braille.
And you can still hear it talking. Whatever's talking, you would still hear that. So I wonder
But if I enter Braille, wouldn't VoiceOver?
Yeah. I'm wondering.
I guess I'd turn my speech off.
That's
then
what I'm wondering.
The voiceover wouldn't. Anyway, that's a thought.
Okay, I just wonder.
Judy, let's you and I talk offline because I do that all the time.
Oh, okay. Great.
All right, and we do have another hand. We have Phil Obregon. So, Phil, please unmute.
Hi there, Debbie. Excellent presentation. Thank you. While you were going through the commands, I pressed Alt-U to see the participant list, and now I can't get out of it. I tried Alt-U a second time to see if it would toggle, and it's not.
Escape.
Ah, okay. That's easy.
It's one of the non-toggle toggles, or not a toggle. Zoom.
Okay, sure enough, that just did it. Thank you.
Nico White says, the only thing predictable about Zoom is that it's unpredictable. Go ahead, guys. I'm writing down Judy's questions here before I forget if I seem a little distracted. Mac and Braille. And there was one other thing she wanted. I'm ready for more raised hands.
You don't have any hands right now.
I don't. Goodness.
No, not at the moment.
Okay, well, just give me a sec to write down Judy's questions. She asked about the Mac and Braille, and she asked about
how to change her name. How to rename
on iPhone, because I'll answer that Thursday after I just test whether what I think works, works. Just as a point of information, I was Judy's WordPerfect for DOS teacher when I was very young and inexperienced. It was like the first training I ever really did. So that was many years.
It was a great program. I used it in college. It was wonderful.
And a damn good teacher she was, too.
Well, yeah. I've gotten better, I hope.
This is Rob, Debbie. I was wondering, do you want to talk about the meeting history at all, or is that more of an advanced topic?
You know what? It is important because you can get into it by mistake. I joined so many meetings, I don't use my meeting history because it only shows like the last few days. But if you don't join many meetings, what's really nice is when you go to join, you'll see it'll say enter your meeting ID. I think it says either enter your meeting ID or link name, something like that. And then if you down arrow, you can see the previous meetings that you've joined. Not the passcodes, but the IDs. So if you see one, you can just press enter on it and join. Also, if you have scheduled meetings that are, you know, that your calendar is linked with Zoom, you will also be able to see them in a list. But I joined so many meetings that my meeting history typically just shows the last few days. So I don't use it as much as I did when I first started using Zoom. Let's see. Does anybody want to raise their hand and add any comments or any experiences with Zoom that I've missed that you think beginners need to know? That was important, Rob, to mention that.
You don't have any hands at the moment, Debbie.
Let's see. Well, what time have we got?
It's 7:56.
Well, we're doing.
Wait a minute.
Anthony's hand is up, I think. I think Andrea.
Who? I'm sorry.
Anthony.
Oh wait.
Ignorello.
I don't see him. Did it go back down?
Maybe so.
Well, we can let him unmute if he wants.
Okay. Yeah. Wait. Okay. No. Oh, Judy has her hand up.
Yeah, just go. We don't have that many people.
I should be unmuted at this point. Is that okay,
there you go. There you go, Anthony. Yep.
Yeah. I did have my hand up. I have a question.
I see it now.
Yeah, I have a question which may or may not be. Here's what's going on. Generally, when I join a meeting, I use the link inside of an email. However, I did put Zoom on my computer. And the problem I have is that when I join like that, like on the email, if I alt tab, it'll go over to the other one. And then it's like, you know, well, the problem I have is this, and that is I was trying to be able to do a meeting in my Zoom that I set up, and I tried to have Steve Bauer help me, and we just couldn't get it going. So I don't know.
Okay, why so that would wait happen. A minute. You were trying to schedule a meeting. Is this a meeting you wanted to host?
Yeah, in other words, because I have Zoom, and it's a free version, of course.
You have
it's
a free chat.
Yeah, because I haven't purchased anything. It's just the Zoom, I guess it's the Zoom app on the computer.
Is that do you I'm have talking? An account? Is your name up there?
I do have an account, and it's connected. Rather, that account is connected through my Microsoft.
Oh. Well, I think that's going to be something we're going to talk about on Thursday. But meanwhile, see if you can give me a good, precise explanation of the problem, because I'm unclear what it is, since you just said you joined the other thing. That's not precise enough for me to be of assistance.
Okay.
Judy and Judy and Phil have their both have their hands up. Judy, did you have another question?
Yes, I have a couple of things.
Okay,
quickly.
Go ahead.
Where is the chat button on the iPhone?
More.
Under more.
Okay.
Another thing that I think everybody on this call knows this, but I was just playing around. Once you raise your hand, you have to arrow over to cancel to get back out of more. And then when you go back into more, you'll be where you were last. So
yes,
remember that that raised hand is not always, depending on what you did last or whether you canceled. You have to
go back to
tap around to get more back to where it was originally.
That is true.
Okay,
I don't turn on my phone enough, see?
Okay, Phil, you had another question.
Yes, hi. This is related to your comment about the meeting history, which excites me. It's like, that sounds so cool. Now, you indicated that you can arrow down and find previous meeting IDs. You said it doesn't show the password, but when you press enter on it, do you have to enter the password?
You do. It does not save the password. You will have to enter the password.
Well, it's not quite as exciting then.
No, it's not quite as exciting, but at least you don't have to remember the meeting ID.
Right. Okay. You know, thank you.
This reminded me of something, though, when the other person was asking a question about joining with a link. People who are not very good at this when they're creating the emails will sometimes put a link in there that is not a link. So when you double tap on it or when you press enter on it, nothing happens. And what they did is when they entered the link in email, they forgot to go to the end of the link and press enter. And when you do that, it turns blue, by the way, just in case you care. But if they forget to do that, it's white, it's not blue, and it's not a link. And so what you need to do is then cut and paste that link into your browser. And that doesn't happen so much on the iPhone because the iPhone is smart and it goes, oh, this is a link. But computers often don't recognize a link unless it bashes them over the head. So you will sometimes get a link that isn't a link. And in that case, you just have to cut and paste it into your browser's address bar. And that happens because the person who created the meeting wasn't smart enough to go to the end of the link and press enter and make it blue. So,
Debbie, I'm sorry. Judy has another question.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry to be such a pain. I just went into more, and I don't see chat. I see a bunch of emojis, happy clapping hands, and happy face, but I don't see chat.
Oh, I love updates. You know what? I'm going to have to.
This is Gabe. I can actually speak to that a little bit.
Go ahead, Gabe. Go ahead.
We have turned off the chat feature for the CCB account because of being in meetings, things like being in a board meeting and having people just constantly sending chat messages. And, you know, everybody on the meeting was hearing the chat messages instead of the board meeting. So.
And that illustrates exactly what Debbie was saying, that the host can preset certain buttons not to show up. And this is a good example, but that answers my question.
That's right. And in my job, because I work with so many sighted people, they just love the chat and they're chatting all the time. So you'll find with ACB, you're not going to see as much chatting going on for just that reason.
Right. It's
very speech distracting.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was easier to turn that feature off than to tell everybody on a meeting to turn off their speech.
Yeah.
I still need to make sure it's under more, though, because the app has gotten updated many times, and I tell people stuff, and it turns out it's not really there.
I thought I saw it outside of more. I don't think it's under. I have a feeling it's not under more. I think it might be by itself.
Anyway, just for other calls, you know, that I might be on where I now I'm in love with the idea of chatting. So if you do find out where it is on the when it is available,
I think I've seen it both under more and under participants because I have it turned on my personal account.
I've definitely seen it under participants too. So I will take another look at the latest version of the app for Thursday.
Thank you.
I've written this down too.
Okay, you have no hands right now, and it is 8:00.
All right. Well, I'm ready to stop. I think anything else people ask is going to be advanced anyway, and we'll do all that on Thursday.
Debbie, this was fabulous. Thank you. And thank you for allowing me to host.
Oh, sure. Who's hosting me Thursday?
I am.
Cool.
You're stuck with me again. Rob and I will both be here hosting and recording.